Joshua 23. Verse 1. You see, there's only 24 chapters in Joshua, so we can see the, we're at the very end of it. Joshua 23, verse 1. Now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have appointed a portion to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm, then, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you. But they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. Let's pray. Lord, there is a law in our world that the world is not able to grasp, and it should be able to. So is our sin, so is our blindness, that we find it impossible to do even the most basic, logical things. And Lord, in our day, it is evident more and more that when you are not the center of our focus, that chaos ensues. And all the while, people think they're making progress. This is how desperately wicked the heart is. And very simple but really impossible way is set before the people of Israel, that they maintain and keep your law, to be devoted to you alone, of which we are all responsible. Now, Lord, may we appreciate the fact that we can only do this in Christ, and yet to be sober about the fact that we all have to do it, whether in Christ or out. Guide our thinking, and well, may you be pleased with our meditations upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. there are many dangerous places that you could work. We have one right down the road here at the chemical plant. Or it could be go an hour and a half or so, and you can get to another nuclear facility. And if you work in these places, you will be trained about what the dangers are. To go into a place like that just to browse around would be ridiculous. You've got to know where you can go, what you can do, what you cannot do, places to stay away from, and on and on. And every person that works there has to know that. Every manager has to make sure that these things are taught. Because if you don't know them and you sincerely make a mistake, it just doesn't matter. It is the same. If you wander into a radioactive area of a nuclear power plant, you still get radioactivity upon you, possibly to a lethal dose, whether you meant to or not. If a new manager comes in, he's got a hold of the same standards as before. It can never change. New employees come in, they have to learn it. And they have to learn it to such a degree that it is second nature, but it can never just be second nature. It has to be thought about all the time. You can never let your mind relax in a dangerous place. You let it relax, you make a mistake, and it's unforgiving. Electricians don't get a do-over if they accidentally grab a power line that's hot and current flows through. And it can kill them because electricity doesn't care if you meant to or not. It doesn't matter if when you jumped into the lake in the early spring that you landed on a thin layer of ice that you could not see. The lake doesn't care. It's there. It's just the way it is. It's the law. There's a physical law in place. In Tryon, when it would freeze a little bit more than here, the lake would freeze over and kids would go out there and walk on the little thin ice on the lake. The lake didn't care if you meant to go through or not. If it went, you went through, you went through. In Minnesota, every winter, the beginning of the winter, every winter that I was up there, some child went through the ice because they got on it too soon. And the ice did not care. Chemicals don't care. Radioactivity does not care. Atoms do not care. These things just happen. And there's never any change of it. If anyone were to come in and say, well, I don't really like all the limits I have of walking around in this chemical plant, I'm just going to go the way that I think is best to go. It doesn't matter what you want. You can make up your own rules, but it doesn't matter because the rules are not going to change based upon what you think. Our world very easily shows us how foolish it is. A few weeks ago, they were saying, do not get out of your house. Do not get out of your house. You'll infect people. It's going to spread around the world. It's going to overrun all the hospitals. Stay home. As soon as the riot started breaking out, they said, go out and riot. Because it's more important to riot for a good cause than to worry about the virus. Who cares if you give people the virus? I mean, this is a worthy cause. The Senate Majority Leader said that people are acting like the virus cares about what you're saying, and it will infect you based upon the content of your speech. This is how foolish the world is. So you go into a power plant, electrical plant, nuclear plant, or a lot of other dangerous places, you have got to think all the time. Now, why is it, then, that people believe in the world that the law of God is different? That you have to keep the law of nuclear fusion. You have to watch out for chemicals. You have to watch out for electricity. You have to watch out for a lot of things. And they're very unforgiving and they don't bend. They're not flexible. But when it comes to the law of God, it is up to you. You can choose it or not choose it and get off just fine without it. And the law of God is more dangerous than all of these other things combined. Because the law of God dictates the kind of person that can withstand the gaze of God in judgment. Only those who have fulfilled the law, and it's only possible through Christ to do that. So when a person says, I am going to be careful around electricity, I'm going to be careful around chemicals, but as far as the law of God, you can take it or leave it, whatever you want to choose, do it or not, is ludicrously ignorant. Because the law of God is the same every place you go. It's the same in India where Hinduism is more prominent. It's the same in Arab lands where Allah is worshipped. It's the same in the United States where we become more pagan every year, every day. It doesn't matter. It does not change. Our sincerity, our beliefs, our philosophies, our religions, it does not matter. And people should know that, but they don't. They know gravity is unforgiving. That time you thought you were stepping off onto another part of the bridge, you stepped off into air. What happened? Well, the air said, I know, and you made a mistake. Gravity said, I'm not gonna hold you to this. This time, that's one. You got one do-over. No, you plopped right down into wherever you were headed. You went in the water. It does not matter. If a person does not follow the law of God, it does not matter what they think. The same outcome is for them. And it's not just Christians. It's not just Israel. It's every person in the world must adhere to the law of God. Joshua emphasizes that here. He was old. And he gives a warning. And there's a reason he gives this warning. It says he's old and advanced in years. And he called all Israel together, their elders, their heads, their judges, their officers, and said to them, I'm old and advanced in years. You've seen that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, what they've done, what the Lord has done. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations, which remain as inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. And so he says, the Lord your God, verse 5, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay right on that path. And that includes not compromising with the nations. Verse 7, so that you will not associate with these nations, which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. You're to have the death hold on the Lord. And so this is the kind of thing you tell people when you're checking out, you're going the way of all the earth. And so you don't have a lot more time that you can personally influence them. And every person gets there, and every person has to pass on to the next generation proper behavior. The elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers in Israel are given a responsibility to set a good example and to keep the people on the right path. They're to lead. More and more our day, leaders follow. Leaders take polls. Leaders find out what they believe by the polls that they take. They find out what the people think. Now, there's a certain degree where that is proper because they're elected to represent those that elected them. And those who elect them are supposed to evaluate the candidate and whether he believes those things they believe and pick them based on that. But we see lily livers these days. They get in power and then they find out what they should do by listening to polls and the news. And they're easily shamed into going a direction that is popular and is being spoken of, and there's peer pressure put upon them, and they want to be popular, and they have to get on the side of the media to get that, so they'll get good press, and before long you don't even recognize them. They don't lead, they follow. If you're leading a band, you better not have a transistor radio in your ear listening to rock music while you're trying to lead the orchestra in playing Mozart, because you're going to get sidetracked. And that's the thing with our country, is it's laid aside the absolutes of the law of God. And are we going to do good with that? Are we going to be able to discard the law of God? Well, we're not a Christian nation. Well, it doesn't matter. Does it matter if you're a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness if you violate the laws of the chemical plant? The chemical plant doesn't care what you are. Doesn't care where you're from. We're on God's earth. We're in God's world. So when we're to keep the law of God, that is the basic requirement for every person. Every person must have the proper following and adherence and fulfillment of the law of God, or they cannot go to heaven. And Israel stands as an example. If you're with the Lord, you gain victories. If you're against the Lord, you get defeats. And that stretches to eternity, spiritually. And so these people who were very prone to quickly depart from the way of God had to be very careful not to go to the left or to the right. It takes a stern will. You have got to decide before you leave the house what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. One of the scary things about these days, when kids go out of high school, they leave for high school and go to college, they're not committed to a righteous way. If you're not committed to a righteous way when you enter a regular university setting, you are toast, buddy. Solomon, speaking to his son from the very beginning, says you've got to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've got to do that and do it from the very start. Don't wait until you're in a bad situation to start deciding. And the thing with Israel is that they've been through so much by being against the Lord. They had all that wandering. They had all that judgment. They still had people to move out who'd been conquered. And after all of that, they could upset it in just a little bit by just going left or right from the law of God, wandering away from God, because if they're away from God, they're not going to win. And why would they go away from God when they're winning? The problem, of course, is that we go our own way. In the nuclear plant, oh, I like that part over there. I'd go that way and forget the rules. That's just the way we like to do. I can't tell you, if it was all just up to me without any repercussions whatsoever today, the things I would have eaten. I would have still been eating breakfast before I came tonight. You know what? I put one little measly Eggo waffle in my plate this morning with sugar-free syrup and ate that without butter. 15 grams of carbs. Would I have done that? I'll tell you what I used to have, four of them. not recently. I had two more recently. I'd have to cut it down to one. What's next? Half? I'd have all the popcorn that you could put in my mouth. I would have greasiest food, which I still would do regardless of what. If anybody makes greasy food, that's a good cook. We always limit ourselves and make choices based upon what we have chosen to be or not to be, to do or not to do. We have to make that choice. And this is what Joshua is saying they had to do. They have to do this now. He's not going to be around to help them. And it's hard to keep it going because of the inclination we have to go our own way. And it's complicated in our land by the fact that those outside of Christ have only their natural wills and natural powers to go on. And one of the characteristics of being lost is to be gullible toward sin. Now, I don't mean gullible silly. I mean even gullible sophisticated. Choosing a wrong philosophy. Choosing a wrong religion. Choosing a wrong way of life. And we're easily led away by someone talking about something. When someone talks about something that they think is good, it lends some credibility to it. People do it just based on their testimony. And they wander from a right path. Doesn't matter if they think it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter. Because it's just like electricity. It just doesn't care. And the default position for all mankind in sin is to go their own way. And the number one thing every person is told is to go the way of the Lord. There is as big of an opposite as you can get. So we never wonder, we're never mystified as to why things are the way they are. As much as we wander from the Lord, as much as the churches are empty, as much as the Bible is ignored, as much as Christ is unknown in this world, as much as we tout other religions to be fair, notice how fair the Lord said Israel should be. Everybody's got their religion, my sons. Be respectful. He said, don't get near them. Don't swear in the name of their gods. Don't have anything to do with them. In fact, he said to kill them all. The Lord would not fit in today's society. People go by their feelings, by their instincts, by their prejudices, by their peer pressure. They get kicked around. If a kid goes to school today, elementary school, from first grade on, if they're not given some kind of backbone, they run with the wind, they go with the breeze, they follow where the river goes. And people are cowards by nature. Revelation 21, 8 said all cowards will have the part in the lake of fire. Cowards means they can't stand for God because the pressure from the world is too much and they give it up. And they're under withering assault from the world. They give in. That's what happens. We saw in Revelation with the Antichrist. He comes in, demands this, demands that, and the world follows him because they're too cowardly to stand against him because it could cost them their lives. And yet that is exactly the dedication that's required of a Christian. So all cowards don't get to heaven. And there's such a blindness there that they really can't see what's going on. You can't do the most simple, basic things. You can't call things the names that they're called. Let me see, how many words did it take? Four words. Four words now someone used. Instead of saying woman, they used four words to describe a woman without saying a woman. I'm not going to tell you what they are. But Four words. Because you can't say woman. Why? Because we don't know if they're a woman or not. Why? Because they haven't told us. And the world is a place where faithfulness to God is not to be seen. Faithfulness to a false God, we see a lot of that. Because that's still part of the carnal appetite. But even before we get too hard on the lost, Galatians, remember? The Galatians had forsaken God already because somebody had gone in there and wooed them with some flowery words about the law, and they had wandered from Christ. Forsaken, rejected, gone against the Lord. For another gospel. That's how quick it can go. Churches have got to be led. They have got to put their nose straight ahead and go not left or right, but follow the Lord. And it has to be every day. Every Christian, every person has to do that. And the more people that do that, the better for a country. The reason we're in such dire shape as a country, I mean, the easy thing to say is because people are forsaking the Lord. But you could say it another way, is that there's not enough Christians, and the influence of Christianity, salt and light, is not here. Christians are, in many churches, just there to get a number of people and report it or to be entertained. And when the great apostasy comes, the Antichrist setting up his own world religion, and the great apostasy comes when people forsake even a claim of Christianity, that's going to come mostly from churches, I think. Because people are going to say, well, I was fine going to church if it didn't cost me anything. This is going to cost me something. I'm going over to the other side. The great apostasy, the great falling away. Joshua says, if you will follow the Lord, he will give you victory. If you do not, he will work against you just in the same way he's worked for you. And I'll say that's true for every person on earth, ever has been on earth, and ever will be on earth, and who is on earth today. The Lord is zealous to judge. We see it in Revelation. He is zealous to judge. He is zealous to save. He'd rather save. And he graciously does. But it just does not matter if you're against God, whether you meant to be, whether you thought you weren't, and you just don't follow the law of Moses, you don't gain righteousness in Christ. The law of Moses, of course, only convicts us of sin. But it does show the standard, and the standard is perfection, and Christ fulfilled the law by keeping it fully. He's holy. Our faith in him gives us his holiness. Our faith in him takes away our sin, so that we become holy in the sight of God, then we can go to heaven. If you don't believe that, it does not matter as to the facts of the case. You can think all you want that when you got out of your car and locked it, you had your keys in your pocket. You can think it all you want. You can believe with all your heart, it does not matter if they're still in the car. Because you can't change that by your own thinking. Now, there's one thing to say here that the Bible makes clear. And that is that whereas the world quickly wanders from the morality of the Christian influence, and the world does not want to be under Christian influence, that Christians who do not stay with God have not persevered. And by the way, the perseverance of the saints is one of the doctrines of grace. The most Baptists say eternal security. Eternal security is not the same thing as perseverance of the saints. Eternal security means that you are saved when you think you're saved, when you said your prayer, and you think you got saved, and no matter what you do after that, even abandon God and forsake the Lord, you're still saved. That's eternal security. Now, perseverance of the saints also is eternal security, but it means that if you don't follow the Lord, walk with the Lord, you're showing that you're not eternally secure. You're revealing that you never are attached to Christ because you won't come loose. I don't have to tell you that. Jesus said it, Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And as I've said before, if you can be flung off of Jesus, Jesus will fling you off. John 6, he told them things they could not hear because they weren't after him, they were after bread. So he told them, you know, you got to eat me and drink my blood, and they left. And the ones who truly were his stayed. John said they went out from us to show that they were not of us. That's the test. People get mad. Oh, I got disappointed. The Lord let my friend die. The Lord let my mother die. The Lord let my child die. And I don't want anything to do with the Lord anymore. You think the Lord wasn't doing something there? He was flinging you off because you could be, because you weren't attached. That's all the world wants. The world wants to fling Christ off. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth, get that, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the elders take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Let's have nothing to do with Christian morality. I wonder when our world will get around to doing that. I wonder when our world will get around to saying it's okay for a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a dog, or a woman and a cat to live together in holy matrimony and have free sexual relations just like that if they want to. Or to say they're one of the 158 genders. I wonder when they'll get to that. Because they've been saying in Psalm 2 that let's throw it off. Let's get rid of all that. We don't want to hear about that. We don't want to follow that. It's upsetting to us. But really, if it's upsetting and they don't like it, what does it matter in the end? It's still against the law of God, and God's still in control. What's going to happen? Lord, I don't think you should be judging me for that, because I didn't believe that. I thought that was homophobic for you to say that. And you know what happened? Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I don't care. It does not matter. Any more than jumping out of an airplane and make you hit the ground hard. I thought I'd just bounce off. I thought I could jump in that pool from 20,000 feet and just dive and run right back up. Well, think away. It doesn't matter. When the world talks about enlightenment, the world thinks it knows everything. Usually when the world talks about enlightenment and going its own way, it means they're descending farther into darkness. They just think it's light. And they want to break away from the bonds of Christ so they can be more enlightened, be more free, come out of the closet, be more approved, be more accepted in evil ways. This is why in this chapter it's hammered into them as much as Joshua can, that they have got to follow the Lord or they cannot succeed as a nation. And you know they didn't follow the Lord and they did not succeed as a nation. All the memorials, all the reminders, all the great law of God, all the history. The Lord said, I will move just as quickly to get you judged as I move to get you victory if you forsake me. He says that from before with Moses. So they can say, well, you know, I got a different plan for how we can build our nation. Well, whoop-de-doo-dah. It just doesn't matter. I've got other ways to spend my time than being in the Bible and seeking the Lord. Well, you know, fine and dandy. It just doesn't matter. This is why the Lord tells us these things. This is why Joshua told the elders. He's leaving. The elders have got to do their job. The leaders have got to do their job. Parents have got to do their job. Part of the reason we got such a bad world today is because parents have been so bad. They're not leading their kids up, bringing their kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they weren't brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it doesn't take long for that to be a habit. And everything's all perverted. But what did Peter say? This isn't new. Be saved from this perverse generation. Oh, it was perverse then? Imagine that. Imagine it's still perverse today. But to be saved from it, we go to Christ. We don't deny Him. We run to Him. Any comments or thoughts?